Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pixel Chicken Team Up. I am your host, Stryker. With me, I have
Philip.
With me, I have Phil, and I have Johnny as well.
Yeah.
Phil, how you doing?
Doing all right. Doing good. Worked really hard past couple of days. Get our new look, our new logo, our new title set up, and it really paid off. So
yeah, we're working on some stuff behind the scenes, starting with a little refresh of our art and stuff, courtesy of Phil, and something else in the works.
Oh shit!
Some other shit.
Johnny, how you doing?
Fuck. Good. I'm looking at Phil's art here, and I did not realize that there's some girl kicking a dude's balls, and the guy's getting his eyeball punched literally out of his socket.
A little Easter egg for you.
Is that an Easter egg?
It's a beat 'em up.
Yeah. Do people's eyes come out of their sockets?
Well, he's so hardcore. He's so hardcore. Man, the guy's eye fell out. Badass.
Makes sense to me. Johnny, how was your week?
It was decent. Had an awkward wedding. Nice. I just kind of like, you know.
Excuse me.
Not a whole lot. No, no, no.
Phil, what about you? How was your week?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, let me tell you whose week was not good. Hulk Hogan.
Nah, yeah.
That too. I am going to just jump right in because this does affect video game news as well. As we know, and most of the people listening, if not everybody knows, Hulk Hogan, who needs no introduction, got in some deep water this week because of a transcript and some audio that got leaked of him making some very racially insensitive comments and about somebody his daughter was dating or something like that. And anyway, it caused a huge a huge storm of bad press, and WWE terminated his contract, like severed all ties with him on their websites and everywhere. I mean, they reached out to people selling their products and said, get rid of all the Hogan stuff. I mean, it just wiped them away completely. To a level that they haven't done since Chris Benoit. Anyway, the point is that one of the things included in wiping him off the face of the earth, his character anyway, they removed him from WWE 2K16. So they announced that, I myself was wondering what was going to happen with that, because basically WWE has last say of who is included in the roster and who isn't. And they've done this before, actually, with previous games. In fact, Hulk Hogan himself was removed prior to release of one of the first few SmackDown games back in the early mid 2000s. And they, in fact, his some of the data and stuff was left over on disc. You could see that he was still his character was there and ready to go, but they decided at the last minute to remove it because he left on not so good terms. They've done it a few times in the past. They did it with Scott Hall and SmackDown Here Comes the Pain. They did it actually with Chris Benoit in SmackDown 2008. They removed him completely from the game and everything. So, anyway, I thought that was just kind of interesting that they removed him. And my questions about it are, in this day and age with the games, they have their main, the main game mode in these in the last few years has been their what's called a 2K showcase mode. And basically what it is they they pick a certain character or a certain timeline or something like that, and they focus in and have you relive their matches and their career, and they play video highlights in between, and really well done. It's really cool and well produced. And last year they did it with CM Punk and John Cena's feud and different things like that. So this year I was kind of curious if there was going to be a Hogan showcase. They announced that Austin is the cover star, Stone Cold, and so obviously he's going to have his own showcase with some of his career highlights and stuff, which is cool. But the the inclusion of Hulk Hogan in the roster, and there was like some other leaked advertisement that mentioned Andre the Giant being in the game. So that kind of made sense that maybe there would be a Hogan showcase. So if that was the case, it's kind of interesting to see if they remove almost half of like a complete game mode because of this. And that's just speculation. Maybe there wasn't a Hogan showcase. Maybe he was just one of the people they threw in because he's a legend. But anyway, I'm just curious about that. There was this other site that was leaking news about WWE 2K16, and it's some kind of sketchy Twitter account. Mm-hmm. But I will say that they've been like correct in guessing pretty much all the big news that's been announced so far beforehand. Mm-hmm. And they said that not only is Hogan going to be removed, they're going to remove the NWO, which would mean Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, because of their association with Hogan.
Oh, man.
Which sucks really bad that if that's true. I really hope that's not true, because, you know, I can understand you removing Hogan. It sucks, and I wish that he wasn't, but I get it. Mm-hmm. And I understand that they would want to sever ties with him at this point. But to remove two other characters that are completely... I mean, they're related because they were all in a group together, but everyone's related to Hogan at some point or another, you know, in their careers. You know, you're not going to remove The Rock because he wrestled Hogan once or something. So I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, at least Hogan's got Dennis Rodman by his side, right?
Yeah, there's a few people that have come to his defense and said that, you know, that conversation does not... it was more of a exception to the rule, I guess. He's not a racist person, they said. Anyway, it's just been kind of a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
It's too bad that, like, anytime, like, someone, you know, somebody when you grow up that you see in the limelight and, you know, he's been through other controversies before, but nothing to this level. It's always unfortunate to see, you know, kids grew up with him being their hero and stuff, and now comes out that he's just not... He has some not so great things to say about people, but anyway, it's an unfortunate situation.
So apparently, the leaking of these racist comments were related somehow to the Gawker sex tape scandal thing that they did. That they're being sued $100 million for. Gawker is the conglomerate sort of journalist site for a bunch of things, including Kotaku. A big steaming pile of gaming journalist bullshit.
I hear a lot of bad things about them.
I used to follow them a long time ago, and then like as they progressively went downhill, it's another story. Anyways, the two CEOs like they both like were fired or something for some horrible thing because they're a joke. They're terrible. But yeah, they're partially responsible to a lot of shit, including this.
Yeah, supposedly he said these comments on the tape itself. But anyway, I just wanted to point that out because I really hope that the removal of other characters that are not Hulk Hogan does not happen. Because to me, that's just stupid and ridiculous. And I just wonder how that goes. I mean, they're paying these people royalty checks. I would imagine they're still going to pay them. And then they're just not going to have them in the game. That just seems a little too much to me. It's just stupid. Anyway, to...
Important thing to say here. Why do we still call it sex tape? Like, who calls any video a tape anymore? Nobody shoots on tape. I just think of, like, a big-ass camcorder. Someone's shooting it. They got a little cassette going on there.
Yeah, I don't know.
How long are you going to take this?
I'm thinking another 10 minutes. Should we go for
it? I don't know. I guess it's easier to say than like sex digital recording.
Sex vid.
Sex vid. That's easy to say. On to another piece of a sports title. Not similar at all in the fashion of news, but NBA 2K16, another game under the 2K conglomerate. This rumor's been around for a while, but it just last week it kind of caught some steam, and there's like some major media outlets reporting.
You can play as college characters?
Well, here's the thing, Phil. I don't know if you were aware of this, but in the last few years, there's been a lot of, mostly with the NCAA football games, there's been this a lot of controversy because there was like this huge multi-million-dollar lawsuit with EA for including likenesses of college players.
Okay, I remember hearing about this.
As you know, in college games, college sports games, they don't have actual players. They have their number, they have their statistics, and they have the general look of the player, but they're not, because they don't they can't pay these kids. It's, it's, you know, it's against the like NCAA rules. So they aren't allowed to license out their names and stuff like they are in the NBA and professional sports and stuff like that. So they got, there was like this huge lawsuit. I mean, college sports games have been around forever. College basketball games, the last one was like 2008, College 2K8. And then I think in the EA Sports released a few after that, but College Hoops 2K8 was like one of the best basketball games ever. It was so much fun. Anyway, and they completely stopped making college basketball games, the 2K franchise. So anyway, since then, there's been like no college games. The football games aren't around anymore because they, because basically they the way it works now is that they have to like license. Each conference has to like sign a deal with EA individually for them to be in the game, and a lot of conferences said they're not going to do it, so they're just not, you know, not in the games. Anyway, the point is that the NBA 2K franchise, there's been a rumor going around that they have individually licensed like 16 different schools so that they can be in NBA 2K, which is pretty cool for for basketball game fans. One of the big features that a lot of people used to like about the NBA 2K franchise is you could like import players from the college games into the NBA franchises and do different stuff like that. And you know, they have their modes now where you start out when you're developing and work your way up into a starter in the NBA, and the thought of like starting out in college and then going all the way up to the NBA is pretty cool. The My Player game mode. So anyway, I thought that was kind of neat. I know that for people that like the NBA 2K franchise, that's huge news and something that, I mean, people have wanted for forever. I mean, as long as these games have been around. So if that's true, that would be pretty cool.
Nice.
I'd be down with that. And I wonder to what level, like, if they're going to have like the arenas and like the players and the mascots and all the stuff and the college atmosphere. And I'm just curious how deep it will go if that is the case. It'd be interesting to see, because college basketball is different. You know, they run different types of offenses and defenses and have different points of emphasis than like the pros do. So, you know, it's a whole nother ball game, no pun intended.
I always wondered what it'd be like to see an actual college game go up against a college team go up against a professional team.
It wouldn't go well.
Yeah,
I think that a lot of people have this misconception that some horrible NBA teams would not stack up well with like some of the best college teams, and I don't believe that to be true. I don't know. Maybe there's probably some points in history where that would be different, but I think for the most part that, you know, your professional team would
probably
wipe
destroy
the floor
them.
With the college team. I mean, they're better trained. These, even like the bad players on a pro team, they were standouts in college for the most part. You know, some guys, not so much. They went undrafted and, you know, maybe played internationally. But for the most part, you're going to be dealing with guys who were really good in college.
Okay.
So,
like,
but people do bring that up a lot. You're not the only one to bring that point forward. So,
But so basically, every professional team consists of, like, individually, like, the star athlete from their high school or their...
Or college. Yeah, pretty much. You know, sometimes it's, like, maybe the second and third best guy on the college team, but that just depends on what team it is. So, I just wanted to say that. Would be cool.
I have a last-minute piece of news that we forgot to add.
All right.
And this kind of relates to some other news we'll be talking about. But there's a new studio by formed by ex-BioWare developers, a large amount of them, a large amount of old BioWare developers, and they have formed a studio called Nightmare.
Mayor, and, like the mayor of Townsville.
Yeah, and knight, like a knight.
That's weird. Okay,
chivalrous knight. They're creating a new RPG called Mooncrest. It's a single player RPG that harkens back to Knights of the Old Republic, Jade Empire, and Neverwinter Nights, and it has a combat system that is going to be similar to Souls games. Apparently, it's going to have some vibes like that.
I like that.
But yeah, these are old Knights of the Old Republic and Jade Empire and Neverwinter Nights devs, and those games mean a lot to me. So that's surprising.
I never got into Jade Empire. I would have liked to.
I never did either. Jack's playing it right now.
I know some people that are that really liked it. It seems like it has a niche audience.
Yeah, and the reason why it had a niche audience is because BioWare fucked up and only released it as an Xbox exclusive for the original Xbox, when like their audience for BioWare games has always been a PC art audience. So even though they like designed it on the KOTOR engine, they just didn't release it until like 2009 or something. It came out on PC. But everybody who played it liked it. So mm-hmm. all those devs kind of come from the golden age of BioWare. So the fact that they're coming back together to make a Souls-esque game that goes back to their old style is interesting.
That is interesting.
It's cool. Potentially big news, and they make it sound as if there might be a Kickstarter, but it's not clear yet. But who knows?
I wonder if they're... Man, these Kickstarter campaigns are just...
They're all over the place.
They are. It's like, it's going to get to the point where you're like, okay, I got $20 I saved up to put in a Kickstarter campaign. Which one of these 12 do I put it into? Like, eventually you're just going to get to the point where you're going to have to pick between like a dozen Kickstarter campaigns to add to.
Anyway. That'll just be so norm.
Oh, did you hear that sound? That's the sound of us transitioning into our new segment. Let's talk shit about Red Ash. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Do we really have to talk about Red Ash again?
Yeah, we do. You know why? Okay. You know why?
Why? What else is there to be said?
Let's talk about how many new backers there are.
None. Well, sure. I'm sure there's none.
Yeah.
Okay. So what the fuck?
Thank you. No. Okay, there we go.
That was it. Okay, moving on.
So let's just transition into this other piece of news that's similar. Some former Witcher developers.
Yes.
And I don't know if they worked on Witcher 3, but it did mention specifically like Witcher 2 in the article, have formed a new studio, and what is it called? Phil, help me out on this.
They're calling themselves, god damn it, Fool's Theory.
So, yeah, they formed a new studio, and they actually mention on there kind of what they're going for.
Yeah, Jacob Rokaz, I apologize for butchering your name, sir. He's gone for saying, we started working on a game that will be a daring combination of some isometric genres, said Roquez. I don't want to reveal too much details at this point. I can assure the game will break some proven schemes and will be revealing more information about it very soon.
Cool.
So, sweet.
Any guys that worked on Witcher, I can...
I have high confidence in them.
Yeah, I do too.
They're absolutely working with a Polish publisher, and they do the Euro Truck Simulator games.
Well, the game will be developed by Unreal Engine 4 alongside IMGN Pro. Is that the game you're talking about?
Unreal. Yeah, IMGN.pro is the publisher, and they published smaller scale Polish things.
Yeah, from some of the quotes in this article, it sounds like it's going to be kind of more of like a smaller scale type of game or type of thing they're going for. So I don't think it's going to be quite as, you know, it's not going to be like another, to me, it sounds like it's not going to be like another huge, you know, Witcher type RPG. Mm-hmm. But it will be interesting to see how that plays out, what kind of game they're going to go for. And yeah, like you said, Phil, I have confidence that they will... they will pull something out that will be pretty cool. Johnny, you wanted to talk about a Odin's Sphere? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Odin's Sphere. So Odin Sphere was a game by Vanillaware, released. It was a JRPG, a very, very interesting one. It's like a side-scrolling beat-em-up. And for those not familiar with Vanillaware, they're basically, they create the most beautiful-looking sprites and maps. They are 2D master artists, and they can really bring 2D to life. All their games look timeless. And Odin Sphere was sort of their big one. It was a big RPG, had a lot of Norse mythology around it. And, I mean, it had a lot of flaws. In fact, there's a lot of things I couldn't get into with the game, but it's being brought onto PS3, PS4, and PS Vita. In HD, 1080p, remastering, whatever. But that's not all. There is the more important piece of news here, because there's a countdown on Atlas's website for Atlas saying they're doing that. But then when that countdown happened and then that trailer aired or got put out, there is a new countdown for a somewhat cyberpunky looking logo. Where Atlas is working with Vanillaware to create a new game, as well as the HD thing.
Sounds like cyberpunk's becoming kind of a big thing.
Maybe. It'd be very strange for Vanillaware to do that, since they are very exaggerated 2D. So, all of Vanillaware's games are very interesting. They're all really cool from a design standpoint and really hit or miss from a gameplay standpoint. Either they work well or they suck. And Odin Sphere was kind of like everything about it worked masterfully except for the recycled part. That's just what they do, is they just have you do the same thing over and over again in their games. So, but yeah, my friend put like 80 hours into Odin Sphere when it came out. And it always looked cool to me, but I never played more than an hour of it.
So Atlas is going to publish this game?
I think they did back...
co-develop?
Well, no, they published this game back in the day, and they're just republishing it again on the... But Atlas and VanillaWorks, I'm pretty sure they've worked together for a long time, but they came together again and said, we're working on another thing together. And the last thing they did was the beat-em-up, Dragon's Crown... with the grotesque large breasts and thighs for the beat-em-up characters, which I'm sure everyone is familiar with.
Oh yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's so over the top that you see it and you're like, why? Why did they do that?
Not Phil. Phil's talking, he's like, why aren't they bigger?
Phil's like, oh, finally!
Finally, a beat-em-up I can enjoy.
I'm surprised you guys didn't play that. If you like beat-em-ups, you should seriously try it. As silly as the main character designs are, you can still play the game without those two characters, because they have, like, the berserker guy and the archer girl, the Viking dude. But, they're a good studio. So, I'm looking forward to whatever they have that's new. Hopefully there's no ginormous breasts. And if there are, then they make sense. I don't know.
I like breasts of all sizes, man. Really, I do.
Bravo, yeah. Phil.
I'm not picky. As long as they don't go down to the knees.
These did, basically.
There was that. Yes, that's true. They do. I'm sure they do.
And then when they went down to their knees, their fucking legs are so thick. They're like... 5 times larger than Chun-Li's. It's like, is this a human being anymore?
It's silly, but, you know, I'm not offended.
Speaking of Phil's taste in women, I want to transition into a little bit of a romance in the Fallout universe. There was an announcement. They talked a bit about Fallout at... What conference was it?
This is it, Phil.
That's it. It's crazy.
So they talked about Fallout at one of the latest conferences. I don't remember what it was last week. And one of the pieces of news that came out was that you are going to be able to have romantic relationships with your human companions in Fallout 4. So I thought that was kind of kind of interesting news.
Yeah, it's interesting news. It's like cool. Mass Effect, you know?
I think that, I mean, it could potentially make you, obviously, even more so than before, care a lot about what happens to your... Mm-hmm. And, but they also did announce that your campaigns are invincible in Fallout, so they cannot die. You don't have to worry about that. But you will care much more about them when they are, you know, if you potentially have, like, a romantic relationship with them.
Yeah.
It'll be kind of a cool dynamic.
That should be cool. But there could be, like, a storyline where they do die, and that could make it even more impactful.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I have to write them well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you have something to say about, like, Bessie's as writers.
Skyrim's companions were romanceable. They had, like, that amulet, and it was shit. They handled it so terribly. They're like, yeah, there's, like, 12 girls, and you can... they're, like, random NPCs or some alchemist person. But, like, you do their quest, and then you, like, present them the amulet. And, like, it was, like, an advertised thing that, like, you could start a family in Skyrim. And everybody's like, oh, cool, yeah, and you can have your house, and you can have your lady there. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, well, can you produce offspring? Like, but, no, it was just this really weird, awkward, like, there was no... development between for your companion. In fact, most of your companions in Skyrim, like, I don't even remember who they could be. Like, they didn't have, like, anything for writing for them. Like, Lydia was bizarre. Like, what the hell was Lydia? Do you remember Lydia?
No, I don't remember Lydia.
When you go to Whiterun or whatever, and you kill the dragon there at the start of the game, the Jarl is like, here's this woman named Lydia. She'll be your lady.
What I do recall is that I would have companions follow me around, and then they would just disappear, and they would never catch up with me.
Sad.
They're like, oh, finally, he's asleep. Run away.
So yeah, I'm curious to see how that plays out. What role they'll have in, like, the story and stuff. It sounds like you'll have much more to do with your companion other than just them follow you around and shoot. Which is cool. Another thing I want to talk about to completely to change the theme of what we were just talking about is just real quick. Tomb Raider got they announced the release date. The release window for the PC version. Which Johnny, I thought the same thing as you. I didn't know that it wasn't going to be a simultaneous release on PC. Yeah. But they did announce it's going to be a bit later for PC gamers, that they'll have to wait for Tomb Raider, and that it's going to be launching on PS4 in 2016.
That is cool. There was a bit of a controversy not too long ago that it was exclusively coming out for Xbox, and that doesn't seem to be the case now.
So you know, cool. So I know that the Tomb Raider originally released on the PS3 as well, and it was a multi-console thing. There's nothing... wrong with... So I got a lot of flack when Microsoft bought it out because they wanted their own IP. The problem was that it wasn't theirs to begin with. They had to buy it out. But they got a ton of flack. And in the end, though, like, they had that game. Like, that was a reason to own an Xbox One. And now that kind of hurts them pretty bad because all this time, like... Tomb Raider was listed as one of the Xbox things now. Like, at the start of their press conference, they had, like, the five title characters, like, in front of the Xbox One logo. Like, that was just the thing, their backdrop. And they had, you know, Master Chief and, you know, all the, those people. And then they had Lara Croft. Like, that was theirs now. And I thought, okay, cool, interesting. At least, you know, Microsoft needs something to compete. And they kind of lost it just now. Mm-hmm. And, because, you know, Sony has Uncharted, and I thought it was fair for Microsoft to have Tomb Raider, but, I mean, so long as I can play on the PC, I don't care either way. I mean, it's cool that more people get to play it now. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but from, like I also kind of want to see Microsoft survive.
Yeah.
It's not kind of for me.
Like,
I want everyone to survive if they can.
You don't want it to become WWE.
Well, I don't. Right? Well, more like I don't want it to become the Dreamcast of this generation.
Oh yeah,
no, I think it's far from that.
Yeah, it is far.
Like, you don't want, like, one company to become the WWE and the other become WCW.
They have a lot more money behind them to fall on and a lot bigger of a developed audience than Sega did. But at the same time, I think if you talk numbers, they've lost way more than Sega did on their Dreamcast because they had already came into it losing money.
Yeah, but they can also afford to lose a lot more than Sega did. So
yeah, but Microsoft's hurting in so many different areas right now that it makes me wonder where Microsoft's going.
I'm not sure if this really matters, but I mean, Tomb Raider was originally a PlayStation IP to begin with.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, if you think about it...
But it was also on PC to begin with, too.
Yeah, and then it eventually went to be on Dreamcast as well, but originally.
All three of the major game, first party, like Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft, they're, like, doing really... Well, Nintendo's doing pretty decent, I guess. You know, the Wii U's giving them some hard times, and I think the 3DS sales are starting to go down because the new 3DS was just like a weird kind of a flop. But all three of the major companies all are in financial trouble. All three of them. Like, Sony is just dying in everything other than the PlayStation.
That's true.
They're just getting clobbered.
They got Spider-Man and PlayStation, and that's it. There was a time when they made everything, and they just passed.
Well, so because they invested like millions of dollars in their phone and their TVs, and their TVs aren't selling really anymore, and their phone.
Well, they got out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of things that are just getting killed, and Microsoft's the same thing. They're like, oh, let's be Apple with our operating systems, and Windows 8 was a flop, and then their phones are a flop. Like, their phones cost so much investment money. If you look at, like, and their tablet, the Microsoft Surface, they thought it was going to be the next iPad. And it was just, it's a disaster. I mean, you look at it, it's like $1,300 for that. Like, I've used one, it's just, like, slow. But, yeah, I wonder, the future of the video game industry is going to be interesting because, you know, these studios won't always be there. Like, it's as weird as it is to think, like, you know, Nintendo maybe will, but...
Nintendo, like, this whole time, they'll have been the survivors.
Sony and Microsoft entering the game for the console industry was a weird thing to begin with, but, yeah.
It's just interesting that what would impact the gaming industry, it has nothing to do with games themselves, you know, Sony... And Microsoft hadn't made particularly stupid decisions when it came to gaming, though, right? It was just all this other stuff that they were doing.
Yeah, I mean, and Microsoft right now is... Microsoft's actually... I read a report. Microsoft has done nothing but lose money on the Xbox project since the original Xbox.
Wow, that is depressing.
They invested a ton of money, and it didn't sell... I mean, because, like, even if it's really successful, they have to meet, like, the projected numbers in order for it to be profitable. And even through the Xbox 360, they sort of carried this debt through with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the Xbox 360 was obviously a lot more popular, so I don't know where that stood. But, you know, then the Xbox One costs all of that money. And the Kinect projects and all that.
That flopped. It would be a strange world without Sony and Microsoft making games. Be weird. But what if Sega decided to put their toe back in the water?
Like we were saying, man, they need to get Konami and Capcom... Acquire their IPs, just combine it with Sega and make the next
and SNK.
SNK, yeah, that's right.
Let's see, where are we at now? Oh, well, let's talk about Capcom. You just talked about it. So, yeah. The Street Fighter V beta went live on Friday of last week. And the first day was not, it got pretty much postponed because it was like not, their servers and stuff were had a lot of issues. And then they're kind of experimenting with different things. Like they went live for a little bit and then took it offline again on Saturday and then, or yesterday. And then today, I think they were offline all day, but they're kind of just experimenting now. Their servers do have a cap. So, like, I haven't even been able to get in. I know a lot of people have been able to get into, like... Because it starts you off in, like, a training mode while it's matchmaking. And then you, you know, fight somebody else. But I have heard positive things from the people that have been able to play.
Good.
The net code's really good. really good. Like, really good netcode. Hardly any lag other than a couple... Some people reported, like, during a certain time there was a little bit. But one thing that I do like is, you know, it sucks for people that haven't been able to play, like myself, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of people that are like, this is stupid. But you have to understand that a true beta is not meant for... It's not an early access or a demo. It's mm-hmm. it's more for the company itself to test the servers and, you know, all those type of things. I think that some people have been kind of spoiled with recent games in the last few years.
They forgot what a beta is.
Yeah, well, because, and it's a lot of reason is because companies have been releasing, they call them betas, but they're like almost finished demos, really. They're not meant as much for feedback as they are to give people a taste of what's to come. And, you know, they take feedback and change a few things, but when your game's almost finished, you're not going to be making wholesale changes. You know, and a lot of companies have been doing that over the past few years. So this is an actual, like, true beta in the truest sense of the word. And I'm glad to see that they're doing that. I would like to obviously be able to play it, but at the same time, I'm not upset with some of the stuff, like the issues that are being worked out now, because in the long run, that means it's going to be a more stable launch of the actual game. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, we can't even count on two hands how many times we've been burned in the last few years by horrible launches. So mm-hmm. you know, it's cool. I hope that it serves them well. So
hope for the best.
Yeah. So anyway, are we okay over there? I heard a weird noise.
Something funny?
I think we're okay.
Did you fuck something up?
No, we're good.
Okay. So another piece of news I wanted to talk about. Two pieces of kind of sort of Metal Gear Solid 5 news that are not super related. But the first one was that Metal Gear Solid 5's storage size was announced or leaked or something. It came out, basically, last week, and it was I was kind of surprised how small it was. Doesn't really mean anything at all, because we don't know how, you know, what that entails and how well optimized the game is on Fox Engine and everything. But it was smaller than the storage space was smaller than, like, Metal Gear Solid 4, which was a huge game at the time, because it had, like, uncompressed audio and all kinds of crazy stuff. But anyway, I just found it kind of interesting. It's smaller than some of the recent games that have come out, but who knows, maybe there'll be like a big, you know, patch day one or something like that. So,
you know what, I kind of wish that they'd still release games with like fucking 8 discs.
Those are the days.
I don't wish that at all.
What?
That would be horrible.
Dude, you buy a game, I'm just saying, you may have never done this because you're not a JRPG fan, but you come home from the store and you got that fat jewel case.
Yeah, you feel like you really got some serious shit.
You didn't just
shit.
Buy a game. You bought an experience.
Yeah. I remember my dad coming home, bringing home, like, Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, Dragoon.
Well, okay, Lost Odyssey did that. They had 4 discs because the game was so massive, and as soon as I opened the case and the discs just spilled onto my lap because they couldn't fit, I was like, oh shit, I'm in deep.
Yeah, Shenmue had multiple discs. Hopefully Shenmue 3 does as well.
A part of me always liked changing discs. There's something satisfying, especially because you're like, ooh, I beat that disc. Mm-hmm. It's like a milestone. It's like an accomplishment. You know how far you're getting. You're like, only got 2 discs left.
I hear you.
Insert a new piece of physical media. I don't need this one anymore.
Just throw it away. I don't need this anymore. So the other piece of news on that front was that Kojima and Del Toro, obviously PT is not happening anymore, mm-hmm. At least not like we knew it.
Silent Hills.
And, Silent Hills, I mean. But they did say that Del Toro and Kojima may still be working on another project together. They want to do something together, and so they might still have something in the works.
To me, it sounded like they interviewed Del Toro, and they're like, so how do you feel about this? And he's like, oh, Kojima and I are still talking, like, that was pretty much all it was.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're just like, yeah, we still hang out. But
and he says a little more about what they wanted to do with PT or Silent Hills, and that was it.
So maybe they're just going to keep hanging out and not work on the project.
Yeah, they're just going to smoke a lot of weed.
they're gonna hang out with Kevin Smith.
They're going to talk about movies.
Cool. Yeah. That'd be a fun group
to hang out with. Be a great podcast. Wait, yeah, a stone Hideo Kojima. I wonder what that would be like.
For all we know, he's always stoned.
Yeah.
We don't know that.
He totally smokes weed, too. Didn't he, like, post something on Twitter once, like, he just brought
420!
No, like, some actor or somebody famous came to Japan and, like, brought him weed, and he just, like, tweeted it. He was just, like, him shaking his hand.
Did that happen?
And he was just like, me weed. I don't Seth remember. Rogen? No. Maybe he went overseas or something.
Oh, on the Metal Gear Solid 5 front, Lupe Fiasco is evidently a huge Metal Gear Solid fan, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
He's a rapper. He's cool. He's cool. Good, actually. So we'll get into some TV/movie news now. Phil, you want to talk about the new Evil Dead show?
Yes.
You are actually making music right now with your mouth.
I thought you were going to go into Bond. So it was like, dun, 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 dun,
that's
dun.
Why you never start music prematurely.
That's with right. Your mouth. That's right.
Yeah, you learned your lesson.
I learned my lesson.
We will go into Bond, but first, I want you to talk about the new Evil Dead show.
It looks like a lot of fun. The same kind of absurdity that Evil Dead 2 was, and then some. I liked the recent Evil Dead reboot. I thought it was probably the least terrible of all the horror movie remakes. Of course, the people that went and made Evil Dead went on to do the Poltergeist remake, which I heard was shitty. But that being said, Bruce Campbell is back as Ash for the first time in decades. And, you know, he's a really funny part where there's this classic iconic scene in the original Evil Dead movies where... Ash makes like a cross, and when he buries a dead demon, he like shoves it into the dirt with lightning behind him, and it's all dramatic. And he does that in this trailer, and then someone behind him goes, "Actually, they're Jewish." And I thought that was so. That really entails like, that it's going to be.
Did you watch the trailer?
It's going to be.
An I still haven't comedy. Seen it. Yet.
Oh, it's incredible!
Yeah, it's going to be nice and bloody trailer. And gory and funny.
You know, I haven't seen the old Evil Dead movies. I've seen a lot of clips, and I know a lot about them. And I watched Army of Darkness, which is the third one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the reboot.
Interesting. I didn't know you hadn't seen them.
Nothing. I know enough about them, and I've seen enough scenes from them that, like, I might as well have, and I intend to.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Well, have you seen the severed hand flipping the bird, right? No, you haven't, have you?
Uh-uh.
Fuck. Then you haven't seen Evil Dead 2. You haven't seen
enough.
Yeah,
you shut up,
Johnny. You gotta watch the fucking movie.
Yeah, I've been wanting to watch it forever, but Army of Darkness, I had no idea what Evil Dead, like, really was. I saw the name on TV, I was like, oh, another horror movie, And then me and my dad were flipping channels once, and we encountered Army of Darkness, like, that part where... Like it's right after he shows up, and then there's like that evil grandma lady because it's Sam Raimi, and there's always like a grandma who takes 1,000 bullets in all of his movies.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
So then he just like has a double-barreled shotgun with like infinite ammo, and he's just like shooting her repeatedly, and she's like spinning around because she turns into like a witch or something. And the camera work is like like the Sam Raimi style, like everybody's like. Flailing around and he just like he's like, come here, she devil, and he like flips his shotgun on his shoulder and blasts her in the face or something ridiculous. And then right after that there's this zoom in montage and he's like preparing his gear for his voyage or whatever. He's like tightening a thing and smithing a thing and he's building a thing and loading his shotgun and
he
looks at his woman and
he's like, doing that in the trailer.
Sugar, baby.
He's doing that in the trailer to the new show, but it turns out that he's like creating a girdle for himself. And he's like, hello, sexy.
That's awesome.
He's looking in the mirror.
Yeah. And like the gore effects in this show look fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like just tomato juice everywhere. It's gonna be good.
So to move on to the other piece of news is 007.
Phil, yes,
the new trailer came out for 007 Spectre.
I fucking hate
007.
This he's not, he doesn't really.
I have a big fan.
The new trailer came out last week and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was really cool.
I'm the cinematographer for Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, another spy movie I like.
Wait, is he doing this?
Yeah, he's the cinematographer for that movie. I have read is doing Spectre.
Oh, that's why it looks so incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if he also did Skyfall, because...
No, it was a different guy.
The cinematography in Skyfall was absolutely just some of the best cinematography I've seen in a modern movie. Like a movie set in modern day.
There's some really great scenes in Spectre, the trailer at least.
So they're bringing back an old Bond villain. I don't know if that's actually the... I wish I remembered the name. But I don't know if...
I know what you're talking about. The guy from Dr. No or whatever.
Not Dr. No, but...
Not Dr. No, but...
He was Diamonds Are Forever and... God damn it. The bald guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
But anyway, and I'm a terrible Bond fan.
The guy's played by Christoph Waltz, which is just... I mean, if you were to tell me... amazing... bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so they had fucking Javier Bardem play the last Bond villain, who is, like, my favorite villain actor ever. Following up with...
that guy.
I'm just thinking, like, man, how are they... They can't one-up. Where could they go from here? Oh, Christoph Waltz. Motherfucker!
You see, in the teaser, they kept his character in shadow, and in this trailer, he turns his face, and he's slowly, like,
comes and the look out of the on Daniel Craig's face is like, oh, shit.
Fuck. Hello, Bond.
Like you have an idea from watching the trailer that they have some history between each other. That's
so
really cool.
People think it's Blofeld.
Blofeld. That's right. That's the guy. It could be. I.
Well, he's technically dead in one of the movies. He crashes his helicopter or whatever.
Yeah, but this has nothing to. This has like absolutely. I mean, they rebooted the whole franchise. With Casino Royale, but. And that was a long time ago before reboots became just over the top.
Did they reboot with Casino Royale? Because
yes, they did.
Yes,
it was he had just become a 00 agent at the beginning of that movie.
Yeah, but I thought that they always kind of like start over or do something weird.
Well, they basically just pretend that Bond is a little bit younger than he actually is up till the last Pierce Brosnan movie.
Yeah,
and then they decided to put the movie franchise on the shelf like for good because it was just a huge flop. But then a longtime rival. Who had been battling with them legally for years was going to do his own Bond movie without the Ian Fleming estate's permission. Somehow he was going to pull it off. So they decided, okay, well, we got to do Casino Royale before he did. And that's how they came up with the Daniel Craig Bond movies.
The last, I didn't realize this, I was looking it up. The highest rated on IMDb, the highest rated Bond movie ever is Casino Royale. And the lowest rated is the one right before that.
Yeah, it's because it was really bad.
It was a bad movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not very good. Here's the thing is like I think that most of the Bond movies are actually I don't like them very much. It's just that the ones that are good are some of the most memorable movies out there.
Like this when the style and formula works, it works hella good. And right now we're like in that sweet spot where we probably won't like, unless they carry this over with the next Bond and somehow keep following it up, like, I think we're in the golden age of the twilight of James Bond films.
Yes.
From Russia with Love is so good.
Yeah, it's really good. And I've also read the book, which is also great. I've read a couple of Bond novels. I've read Carte Blanche. It's a weird name. It was a more recent Bond novel by Jeffrey Deaver. It was probably one of the best. It was actually kind of like its own Bond reimagining. They never had him back to do another Bond novel, so this version of Bond never returned. But that book, I thought it was awesome. And then I've read Solo, which is the last published Bond novel by William Boyd. And then I've read at least From Russia with Love and Moonraker and Dr. No. Those are the three Fleming books I've read.
You read Moonraker, all of the James Bond.
Oh, no, no, dude.
Is it good?
It's nothing like the Roger Moore movie. Absolutely really? Not a single thing. The only relation is the title. It has to do the Moonraker has to do with a super powerful rocket made by the Soviets. It has nothing to do with a space station.
Like, the Moonraker is just like, you see all these Bond movies, and then you just kind of remember some pieces of some of these movies. You're just like, that existed once. Like,
yeah, the Roger Moore ones were definitely a little more satirical than the others.
Yeah, the book Moonraker is actually one of the most revered Bond books.
I need to go back and watch a bunch of Bond movies. I have no idea how many Bond movies I've seen. I have honestly no idea. I've watched some. I watched a few Sean Connery ones, but I have no recollection as to what they are. People bring up a scene and be like, oh, I guess I have seen that one. There's like 40 of them, Jesus.
There's a bunch of them.
Another spy movie coming out is a new Mission Impossible, which looks pretty cool. And
it's got 96% on Rotten Tomatoes with 25 reviews. One bad review.
I don't understand how Rotten Tomatoes makes no sense to me, because things are always like near 100% or like zero.
Mm-hmm.
Metacritic's got 78, which is damn good. It's the highest rated out of all of them, but like 98 is like what?
Mission Impossible is a weird franchise because I feel like, maybe with the exception of the first and second, all the rest of them have gotten better.
Yeah.
Like, the first one was kind of...
I thought the first one was good. The second one was a good movie.
I thought the second one was by far the worst.
Yeah, like, I think a lot...
That's why I said with the exception of the first and second.
Oh, okay.
But I think after that, three was better than two or one.
Mm-hmm.
Four was better than that, and I'm wondering how that will...
Personally, I think that 3 was the best by... I thought it was a lot better than the last one. I didn't like the last one.
I actually like the last one far better than the third one.
The last
one... It was creative, inspired. And I just feel like... And here's the thing. Tom Cruise isn't... he's not like Gary Oldman. I just thought that he was... I just liked him better in the last one than the third one. The third one, he kind of sucked in the third one.
I mean, I watched the third one when I was younger, but it had a much better director on it. Like, it didn't have
It had J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, it had Abrams, and the villain was
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah. Oh, there was that. Yeah, definitely.
And I really liked the Vatican heist kind of thing that they did, and there's a bunch of cool stuff with the third movie.
Yeah, it was really good.
Wait, no, they break into the Vatican and Ghost Protocol.
No, because they had to create Philip Seymour Hoffman's like face mask in while they were like in like the side walls of the Vatican.
Okay, and I haven't seen the third
in,
one in, a long
in
time.
Ghost in Ghost Protocol, they bust into like the in Russia and stuff, and then they go to like Thailand. No,
I think they go to where does
Singapore? No,
where does Black Ops take place again? Because it's taken is there? It's that building, I think.
I don't remember what... I don't remember what
Mumbai? Dubai.
So anyway, the whole point of this is that I think that the new one looks really cool, and I hope that... I'm excited to see it.
Yeah,
I'm really in the mood for this new one. I watched the trailer while we were in the theater seeing like Avengers or something. I was like, I'm much more in the mood to watch this movie right now.
I think
Tom Cruise... people talk a lot of shit about Tom Cruise, but I still have a ton of respect for him as an actor he is a great actor, and he does his own stunts, and I just think that's
cool. Yeah, he did that plane scene.
Yeah.
He did 8 takes of that. 8
that's
fucking takes.
That's just ridiculous.
It's insane.
He's a madman.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really liked Tom Cruise that much, but my dad's a big fan, and so whenever a new Tom Cruise movie comes out, like, my dad's like, yeah, and I'm like, no, and then we go together, and then he's just like, no, you like that, I'm like, no.
I like Tom Cruise.
He's not bad. He's
good.
He was in an awesome interview. There was an awesome Nerdist interview with him.
To me, he's nothing.
So good.
To me, he's the most neutral, just like, oh yeah, he's Tom Cruise. He's a hunk guy. He doesn't like
that. Is I
he's the most like
disagree with
yeah.
bland actor. He's just him.
I don't think he's a
no,
fantastic
he's not
actor,
at all.
But he's not bad. And he's also I think he has a reputation for being really dedicated to the projects he's a part of.
I remember the movie Valkyrie. Did any of you guys see that?
I saw that.
He killed that.
He's the only guy in there that he's the only guy in the movie that spoke
not
German.
A good way.
He's the only guy in the movie that spoke German
with a Russian accent. He fucked up so bad. That was like the most controversial part of the movie, is how poorly he handled his accent. They started the movie with him speaking German for like 5 minutes. You're like, oh, this could be interesting. Like, but his accent's terrible. And then everybody's speaking English. And he's just kind of got this forced accent throughout the whole movie. He's like, what are you doing?
Have you seen Collateral?
No.
Then shut up.
I'm saying, if I've seen fucking like 10 Tom Cruise movies that I thought were uninspired, and Collateral happens to be a good one, then...
No, I'm just kidding, but I disagree. I think Tom Cruise is a... I think all his antics away from filming and doing movies and stuff is one thing, but
it's really
I don't think that...
Though. Yeah, that doesn't really ever affect anything for me, but...
I think that he is a really a good actor.
Like, I'm fairly down on it because, like, when I saw the last Mission Impossible movie, that was, like, right when I was kind of getting bored of, like, the 90s formula action movie, and now I'm kind of, like, more interested in seeing a fun one again, but
he does do other stuff. I mean, he does a lot of action movies and stuff.
The last thing I saw also by him was Jack Reacher, which was the generic Tom Cruise movie. It's about as generic as it could get. My dad loved that movie. Oh my god, he saw it like two other times. Like, Dad, what? This is just so boring.
I liked Edge of Tomorrow was really good too. I thought that was
It was awesome.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, that was actually
crazy. And I even liked Oblivion. I don't know if you guys
it was good too.
I liked Oblivion.
I saw it.
Amazing cinematography, and I thought he was really good in it.
Morgan Freeman on a fucking Gatling gun too. What more can you ask
to for? Go back a ways, The Firm and A Few Good Men are amazing movies. The Firm especially. Have you seen these movies, Johnny?
I've seen A Few Good Men.
Have you seen The Firm?
Mm-mm.
So to me it sounds like you are calling him out for being only an action star, but only watching action movies starring Tom Cruise.
I saw Jerry Maguire. I don't know. I've seen a fuck ton of movies with Tom Cruise in it. They were boring movies. He could have...
Like what? Like, what was a boring movie with Tom Cruise besides Valkyrie?
Fucking Jack Reacher. I don't know, dude. It's just an opinion I've held since I was a kid. I haven't put much thought into it. I just don't find him to be a very interesting guy on camera. Like, I get why people like him, and it's fine to like him. And I'm sure there's some movies that he's in that I'd like, but probably won't like it because he's in it. Probably like it because it's a good movie. And, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like if you like an actor, you like an actor. If you don't like an actor, you don't like an actor. It's fine to not like actors.
Yeah, that's fine. But you were saying he's not a good actor at the first.
No, I wasn't saying he's not a good actor.
Let's go back. No. Hold on. You said he is just what? You didn't say bland, but you said he's just.
I said his characters are bland. Pretty Tom Cruise. Like,
yeah.
Every Tom Cruise movie I've seen, Tom Cruise is playing Tom Cruise. In Minority Report, he's Tom Cruise. In War of the Worlds, he's Tom Cruise. He's always I always just like name his character Jack.
Well, like I said, he's not Gary Oldman, but you know he does. Minority Report really well.
He's a good actor.
Yes.
The Last Samurai, where Tom Cruise goes into Japan and out samurais the samurai.
He doesn't out samurai the samurai.
He lived. Samurai is the Chinese.
The Chinese aren't in the movie.
The Japanese?
No, it was the Chinese were fighting the Japanese.
No,
it was Americans.
It was Americans.
Did you watch it?
Viggo Mortensen.
Dude, when I watched that movie, I was in the sixth grade. I liked it when I watched it.
Yeah.
I just looked back on it later and I was like, oh, the one samurai movie we got had Tom Cruise as the head samurai.
He wasn't the head samurai.
No, I mean, but he was the main character as a badass samurai by the end of it. But that's not a well-fleshed out opinion. I haven't gone back to that movie in a long time, so that's not
right. Fair. That's pretty much it. That's all we have for news.
We're going to end on that.
Hey,
we can talk about something else.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I don't have anything else. If you have something else to talk about, we can talk about it.
Wing it, god damn it.
I don't... I mean,
Tell me about some anime, man. I did Crunchyroll. I subscribed to Crunchyroll in order to get rid of the commercials. You have to do premium. And I said that was bullshit. But then I started watching this this weird comedy soap opera in Japan called Wild Mom. And it's just about she's really cute. She's really hot. But anyway, she marries this guy and they open up like a hair salon. Yeah. Yeah, she's like, you know, she's like a Japanese Lucy O'Donnell or something. And then anyway, her husband, they wind up with the husband's kid from his last marriage, and she's mad because he didn't tell her about it. And hilarity ensues.
Who the fuck is Lucy O'Donnell?
You know who the fuck Lucy is?
You mean
Lucy Desi?
Lucy. You mean I Love Lucy?
Yeah.
Lucille Ball.
Lucille.
Yeah, Ball. So she's Lucy. Lucy like a Jesse. Japanese I Love Lucy.
Okay.
And that's it.
Hilarity ensues.
It's not very funny. It's
a glowing review from Phil. Hilarity ensues. It's not very funny. So should I watch it or not?
No, don't fucking watch it. But the girl's really cute.
Okay, why the fuck did you go on a Crunchyroll and just pull up a J drama?
I was looking through the anime and I was like, okay. And then I don't know, I was curious.
he saw the hot mom and he couldn't resist. Yeah, the Crunchyroll's loaded with Korean and Chinese and Japanese dramas. They have a lot more Korean drama than anything. I'm surprised you didn't find one of those. That's
interesting. Is it like all anime?
It's
what? No,
the,
not
the main.
No, they're all live action dramas.
Oh, okay.
So they're like soap opera kind of things.
Interesting. So this one, for some reason, I thought this was an anime that you watched. It wasn't.
No.
Okay. He
went on a Crunchyroll and found some random live action thing that no one's heard of.
Interesting.
But anyway,
what's it? Wild Mom?
Yeah.
That is amazing.
He just found fucking Wild Mom.
I just saw it and I was like, whatever, fuck it. I don't know, it was early in the morning and didn't feel like getting up.
Hey, you know what? I've watched really weird things early in the morning. So yeah. I don't understand. You just see, for some reason, certain different things are appealing if you're up late.
That is so true.
Like,
that's so true.
The things I would watch at 3 in the morning are completely different than the things I watch at like 5 in the afternoon.
Do you know the shit that is on Adult Swim now? It's super late at night. It's called, whatever. I don't remember what it's called, but it's just like this weird. It's like the whole show is like just big acid trip.
Let me ask you something, Phil.
I don't know what it's like to be on acid.
Do you remember back in the day, and I'm talking pre-Adult Swim, back in the day on Cartoon Network, late at night, I don't remember
if it was Toonami Midnight Run.
No. Different. This was maybe even, it was a long time ago, and I don't remember if it was like certain nights that this happened, but late at night, they would have this thing called O Canada.
Yes!
And it was a bunch of Canadian cartoons. And it was the weirdest and trippiest shit.
So fucked up.
And it was really messed up and scared the hell out of me when I was a kid.
It just felt wrong.
It did.
Yeah.
It was really, really weird, bizarre stuff that just, like, this, like, real surreal and, like hallucinogenic type of animation.
Weird as hell.
Horrible.
I know.
And I just, every once in a while, I think of that.
I can't.
And just get this weird feeling that I shouldn't be thinking about.
Some nights I can't sleep and I'm like, oh god, if I don't fall asleep soon, Okana's gonna be on. Fuck.
Oh shit, if I don't. Well, that still haunts you to this day.
You brought it back, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's the thing.
All when I was pre a kid, Adult Swim, like Adult Swim type things that were like before Adult Swim was a thing were horribly fucked up. Like,
oh man, you gotta.
I don't know where the drive was to like who thought it was okay to fund shows like that back then.
I don't know because it was like, horrifying. I have my theory is that it wasn't actually Cartoon Network. That there was like some other crazy guy that hacked into the feed of Cartoon Network late at night when nobody was around to stop him and just played these horrible cartoons that he made. That's my theory. I don't know if it's probably not true.
Well, I think they did advertise for it at one point.
Well, he did that too.
But anyway, now Toonami's back. They got Toonami back, and I've been wanting to get back into it because they seem to have a lot of really cool shows.
Whatever you're playing.
If there's like a slice of life anime with really great animation that I want to check out. And I'm not going to watch a new Dragon Ball Z show until they bring back the voice actors for from the show that I remember.
Dragon Ball Z Kai?
They're burning alive.
Dragon Ball Super.
Jesus.
For Dragon Ball Super. They already got the original voice actors for Kai.
Yeah.
And I've been watching
that.
But
Dragon Ball Super hasn't been translated or dubbed for English yet.
So. I'm waiting for that to happen.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I am too.
But anyway, I was watching an episode of Dragon Ball Z during the Frieza saga. They were fighting the Ginyu Force, and I'm just reminded like how much of a badass Vegeta is. Like Goku's like, "No, we must show them mercy," and Vegeta's like, "You're a pussy," and just blows them all up.
Kakawaltz.
I didn't ever call him Kakarot.
He did, dude. One time.
My god!
Vegeta it's like was... Goku. Goku is Fuck. Goku's Jimmy Carter and Vegeta's Teddy Roosevelt. He is ready to go to war.
That's probably the first time they've ever been compared to those two people. Yeah, Vegeta was always the coolest. Mm-hmm. I liked Piccolo too early on.
But Goku, you don't mess with Goku.
No.
Yeah.
He'll fuck you up. Well, that's a show, guys.
I'm watching fucking O Canada right now.
Okay, well...
I wish I wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
You're making a horrible mistake. If you didn't live it when you were young, there's no reason to live it now.
This is like what he was forced to watch in Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, it's horrible. So, anyway, for all our listeners out there, don't watch O Canada. Sorry if you're a fan of O Canada, but if you are...
all of our O Canada
fans
are
just... If
you're an O Canada fan, just please stay away from us. I don't mean to single anybody out, but it was... Yeah, anyway. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/pixelchickenpodcast. Check out Phil's new art that is on our banner and... like it if you want to. Phil would appreciate it.
I would. Thank you.
He's very egotistical and he gets off on that kind of stuff.
Oh.
Just kidding.
This is jolly.
Follow us on Twitter. That's @pixel_chicken. Send us your emails at pixelchickenpodcast@gmail.com. And I think that's it. And tune in next week. We have a little bit of a special event.
Yes.
Next week for our podcast. I'm being cryptic about it now, but you will understand. For all our longtime listeners, you'll understand.
What was that futuristic drug?
Mud.
So we have a former mud addict appearing on our show.
Former mud addict. I like it. Anyway, we will. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
Peace.
Peace.